enjoying listening to that good music. I forgot to get my microphone on and didn't think about it till they were finished. So, thank you, Brother Murphy, for helping me get all wired up. Sure good to hear good music. Yes. Brother Ricky always does a good job himself and brings in other people who do a good job, and that's a blessing. Real blessing. Reading in the book of Proverbs again tonight. Book of Proverbs. Some of you know that Proverbs is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I got 65 other favorites, but it's one of them. A friend of mine walked up to me some time ago and he said, "Of all the preachers that I know, you're one of them." So, Proverbs is one of my favorites. I would be an advocate of saying you should read at least one chapter every day from the book of Proverbs. It's a very practical book. Very practical book. Some people don't know how to take the book of Proverbs, but it is not a book of promises. If these were promises, it wouldn't have been called Proverbs. It'd have been called promises. Promises come with guarantees. Proverbs do not. They are general statements that usually bring general results. Promises are very particular, pointed. And they are not only possible, they'll happen. So I'm reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. If you have your copy of the scripture, verse 16, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 16. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. We're focusing on the word gift tonight. There are five verses in the book of Proverbs where the word gift is used. I'd like to read those texts for you. You look back at chapter 17, which is probably just across the page from where I read. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 8. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Look again in chapter 17 and verse 23. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Now, if you paid careful attention, you notice that the gift, the word gift, denotes something very different in that verse than what it did in the verse before. In the verse before, a man's gift is called precious, dear to him, highly valuable to him, and it can lead to prosperity. But in verse 23, the word gift is used in a way of perversion. That's a negative. The other verse is a positive verse. Wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Bribery. What he's talking about. Perversion of justice. Nobody in Florida knows a thing about that. So we're going on. Verse chapter 21. I want to turn over there. Chapter 21 and read chapter 21. Well, it might help if I look in chapter 21. I got hung up in chapter 20. But chapter 21, here it is, verse 14. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. You wonder why Jacob sent a lot of things ahead when he knew he was going to meet Esau. See, he and Esau didn't get along. But when he knew he was going to face Esau, he sent all kinds of things up ahead. What for? Pacify. Pacify. I'll make him happy before I see him. So it won't be so bad for me when I do see him. Now I'm looking at chapter 25, verse number 14. Chapter 25, verse number 14. I read this last night. But it says, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. It's quite interesting how that word gift is used different ways in the text of the book of Proverbs. Now, there's two ways that we have to consider this word. We're going to talk about it. We have to think about what we might call natural gifts, but we also need to think about spiritual gifts. Natural gifts. Now, Brother Ricky was talking about this young lady and her singing, and he said, I knew she got it somewhere. There are things passed on to our posterity by natural generation. Sometimes that's good things. Her case, very good things. Gifted. Blessed. Now, the Bible talks about spiritual gifts as well. There's several places that you could go to read about that. Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 11 verses, and then read verse 27 to 31, the same chapter. Or Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 12, or 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. All of these verses and chapters have something to say to us about spiritual gifts. Now, there is something that natural gifts and spiritual gifts have in common. And that is that the person who receives a gift doesn't get to choose it. They have nothing to do with it. You take what you're given in both the natural and the spiritual. I've seen some people in the natural that just had gifts, just all kinds of things that they were very gifted to do. Now, you look around and see maybe your gift is more limited, you might be tempted to say, boy, I got plumb left out about that. But I don't think anybody is totally left out. I really don't, in the natural realm. I remember one time a fellow passed away and the preacher was struggling over what to say because he wasn't thought too well of in the community, and one of the community members came to the preacher and sensed he was struggling, and he made this comment, said, "He is the best whistler I've ever heard." Well, maybe that is his gift, I don't know. Now, when you read about spiritual gifts, and I'm turning there, 1 Corinthians 12, I want to put my finger on something that said there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let me see if I can find it. I may have to take a break. Come back and find it. He talks about, I'm looking at it, verse 11. He's talked about different kinds of gifts. He's named different kinds of gifts. But he said, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally." What's the last three words? You didn't get to decide what your spiritual gift is, did you? Holy Ghost decided that. You didn't decide that. See, spiritual gifts aren't laid out on a buffet. Go by and pick out what you want. No. That's a secret operation. I promise you, when you were born physically, you had no idea what your natural talent would be. You didn't think about it. You didn't consider it. It took some years and some level of maturity for you to ever even think about that. A lot of times that's true spiritually. People might have been saved 15, 20 years, never have thought they had a gift to do anything. But I want to tell you something. In the spiritual realm, every person is a gifted person. It is a spiritual gift. It is a salvation gift. It is a sovereign gift. And it is a special gift to you. And it will be to others. Because your gift is really not for you. Your gift is to be used for the benefit of others. My gift is to be used for the benefit of others. Now, what I was wanting to say by that phrase, as he will, it is said in the scriptures, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We are taught that when we are saved by faith, through our Lord Jesus Christ, every saved person at that point receives the Holy Spirit. He indwells every saved person. That's one of the ways we know we're saved. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. But now here's what I've got to say about that. Since the giver of the gifts resides in every believer, why couldn't we just understand that whatever gift he wants to make active in our life, he can do so whenever he pleases? You say, well, now, preach, I never heard that before. Well, let me give you three words, and it pertains to spiritual gifts. This is where I've come to believe. I've studied this quite a lot, but most people have the spiritual gifts that are spoken of in the New Testament listed kind of like this. They say some of these gifts are permanent, and some of these gifts are passing. And there's some scripture that might could be interpreted that way. 1 Corinthians 13, where he talks about prophecies. He said, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And you know that those three things were spoken of as spiritual gifts. But could there not be such a thing as the Holy Ghost being pragmatic? You say, what is pragmatism? It's making choices and decisions in the midst of whatever's happening for the best outcome. All I'm asking you to do is just write those things down. If you want to think some of them are permanent and some of them are passing and may never occur again, that's all. I'm not going to fuss with you about that. But I tell you what, you're looking at a fella who's not about trying to put a bridle on the Holy Ghost. That's too big a horse for me. I'm going to say he can do whatever he will, with whoever he will, however he will, whenever he will, and I'll just say hallelujah that he's doing something. Amen. Now, I will submit to you tonight that it's hard for me to believe sometimes that some things are necessary, but that's probably not left up to me. I'll just leave that where it is. I'll give you something to think about anyway. You say, well, that you're not lining up with the way I was taught. I'm probably not lining up with the way I was taught either. But I think I am lining up with what the Scripture says. If he gives those gifts as he will, he's in charge of that department. I'm not. Huh? I like what old Dr. Jimmy Middleton said one day at the seminary in Memphis. He said, you and I don't get to vote on what God has already voiced. I wrote that down. Amen. That's good stuff. You don't get to vote on what God's already voiced. You know why? He's bigger than you are. He's going to do what he pleases. Best thing you can do is catch the wind and go with him. Now, I want to give you five things, if I don't think of another one. Five things about spiritual gifts. Just five little words. And if you struggle with vocabulary, every one of them will begin with the letter A. Okay? I've already said, if you're saved, you have a spiritual gift. First thing you need to do is ascertain what your gift is. If you prefer, you could use the word discern. Find out. Come to know what your spiritual gift is. Now, you can ask a lot of questions if you're interested as to how you do that. I'd recommend first get in your Bible and read all of these scriptures I just announced to you and read the names of spiritual gifts. Now, sometimes a person's gift may involve the conversion of a natural gift. Now that may sound strange to you too. But you see, the gifts that we have naturally will have to go through a death and a burial and a resurrection to become spiritual. You see, spiritual gifts are not given so that we may be pleased, but they're given so that God may be praised. And it doesn't matter what my natural gift is, if my natural gift is not resulting in God being praised, it'll have to die and be resurrected if it ever does bring praise to God. Ascertain what your spiritual gift is. Preacher, that's not clear to me. Well, might not be as clear to me as you may think. But most of the time, if a person has a spiritual gift, somewhere they will have a desire in the direction of that gift. Now, I don't wrestle with people that say, when God called me to preach, I fought that. I don't wrestle with that. I think I know what they mean by that. When you're naturally timid, you don't really think highly of having to speak or even look at a large group of people. Of course, I think if I was a young feller now, I wouldn't be too afraid, and I was scared to death when I started. I mean, I was so timid, if somebody drove down the road at the house where we live And they had to be coming to see us if they were coming there. That's the last house on the road. But I'd run and get behind a tree. I'd run and get behind the house. I wouldn't even go see who it was. I'd sneak around and look in the window. And if I felt comfortable enough, I might ease up in the house after a while. Timid. Been a long time since I've been timid. But crowds are not what they used to be in church either. Are you listening? I mean, revival time churches used to overflow with people. Oh, I'd like to see that again. Really would. But there'll most time be a desire in a direction. You can think about that. You probably will also discover that other people will know what your gift is before you do. Yeah. Discerning Christians will probably notice. I mean, as I move along the country, I watch people. I pay attention to people. I observe where their desires seem to be headed. It's amazing. And sometimes you see a person and you may say in secret where nobody else will ever hear, one of these days you're going to hear from that person. They're just the way that you know. That's a person God's going to use in a powerful way. And it's a blessing to see that. Blessing to see that. I don't ever tell a person what I think about it. And I don't because that's not my business. That's God's business. If he's dealing with that person to be such and such and do such and such, he's big enough to communicate. He don't have to have me to say, hey, you know, this is what you need to do. Ascertain your spiritual gift. Second thing, accept your spiritual gift. I mean, whatever it is, just accept it. Don't argue about it. Just accept it. Now, what that will do is keep you from being jealous of other people. And when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, they had a major problem with jealousy. And they had a major problem over personalities. And not but one person that a church ought to be focused on. His name begins with a J. Anybody want to guess? Jesus. Don't ever let a preacher take that place. Preacher ain't qualified for that. Church supposed to be focused on Jesus. All the time. All the time. Everything leading up to Jesus. Everything focused on Jesus. We're not here to feature personalities, pump up personalities. Thank God for persons and for persons used of God. But oh, we're not here to pump up personalities. Church will die if it goes doing that. But now, accept your gift. Number three, you're doing pretty good. We're going pretty good here. Not only accept your gift, but activate your gift. get active with it. Don't just sit around and admire it. Put it to work for the glory of God. Put it to work in the local church. That's what God works in, is His church. And when I talk about church, I may be different than some of you. I'm not talking about some invisible, something you can't see and can't find out. When I'm talking about church, I'm talking about a people that have been saved by the grace of God, that have been washed in the blood, born again, baptized, and they are bound together by the Spirit of God to serve God in a community, to hold up the Word of God and get the gospel of God out. That's what a church is. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a church. Now, some people talk about some invisible something or another. Well, go call you an invisible preacher when you get sick. See if he'll come to the hospital and see about you. Huh? That local pastor will be to see about you. He sure will. Reason some people like to think about an invisible church is they want to give invisible money in the offering. And they don't want any responsibility for what the church is trying to do in the community. Well, I could get off and preach a little bit right there. Activate your gift. Activate your gift. You see, the devil oftentimes gets in the mix, and he will take a person's natural gift that was once used to glorify God, and he'll pervert it, and he'll take that person with that natural gift over yonder to the world. Yeah. The devil don't mind stealing from God. Did you know that? He don't. And he steals lots of gifted people out of the local church. He'll steal them off. He'll take them down yonder to the nightclub. And he'll take them over yonder to somewhere else. And they'll sing the world's songs when they used to sing the Lord's songs. And I'm not saying this to embarrass anybody. Be careful right there. That's direct preaching. I care. Tremendous talent. But don't ever make a deal with the devil. Oh, God, help us. Stick with the Lord. Stick with the church. Stick with who saved you. Stick with who lives inside. Huh? Mankind. Activate your gift. Number four, advance your gift. Advance your gift. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, there's some development that is possible. You say, well, now that's natural gifts. Oh, it's spiritual gifts too. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he gave several things that were involved, and he gave a reason. He said, now, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading. And why did he say that? Reading is essential. You see, Timothy was going to be a pastor. Read, read, read. The answer to all your Bible questions is right here. Read it. And when you think you've read it, start over. It's kind of like riding down the road. If you're riding at 30 miles an hour, you're probably in danger. But if you can get on a road that you can drive 30, I promise you, when you get to the end, you'll know what's on the road. Don't ever try to read your Bible in a hurry. You won't get anything. Read your Bible to get in it. Don't read your Bible to get through with it. Read your Bible to get in it. Soak it in. See what's there. Oh, you can see the surface, but the longer you look at this Bible, the more you're going to see. Develop your spiritual gift. The greatest room in my life, and probably in yours, is the room for improvement. Let me give you a last thing. Appreciate your gift. And the one who gave it to you. Appreciate your gift. And the one who gave it to you. I remember years ago when I was preaching in the same church every Sunday, we would have different mission people in to speak and tell us about what they were doing. And from time to time, we would have children's homes and that type of things. We had a girls' home there one time. They brought a huge bus. I forget how many girls there were on that bus. Seemed like it might have been 40 or 50. But they sung a song that stuck with me. The song said, "Thank you, Lord, for making me, me." That stuck with me. A lot of people spend all their life trying to be somebody they're not. Or something they're not. If you try to be somebody you're not or something you're not all your life, there never will be a you. You just need to be who you are. With the gifts that God has given you naturally and spiritually. And just live to the glory of God. And it'll be fine. And don't forget who gave you life. And he gives you breath. And he gives you all things. Show your appreciation. Just say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me." Spiritual gifts. I hope this will be a blessing to you. Brother Murphy, I'm through. I'm going to go sit down.